First Light Church. Today's sermon is the Trinity in Prayer.
Well, can we have the slide, please, Lab? Thank you. Just want to, I never had a chance to thank Matt last week for putting all of us in a dancing mood, right? I think it was a great sermon, isn't it? Yeah, let's really thank him as well. And, you know, it's one of those sermons that I write a lot of notes. So if I write a lot of notes, means it's very good. You know, and it set me thinking, and I think one thing about First Light Church is that this year there's a few things God wants us to build up in one sense, is our community life, isn't it? So we want to talk more about life groups in subsequent months, about how we can be part of the community, and not just being together, but also about how we can serve together, how we can be part of what God is doing all over the world and step up into nations, but not just into nations, but also into this city called Perth. Amen? And God is partnering with us, we know that. And we know that God is opening up opportunity for us to be doing what He's doing in the city, in the lives of many people. At the same time, I think one of the things that we've been also want to raise to a great consciousness is about having a prayer culture. Right? If you know that for the past few weeks, because we've been praying for New Zealand or been praying for other nations, even we pray for our church, do you not notice there's a lift in our worship as well? Because we are partnering with God and we are aware of what God is doing in our community. And I think this is a culture that we want to have, is to have a praying culture. And this morning, I want to share something that, a sermon, a message for those who struggle with their prayer lives. How many of us honestly struggle with our prayer lives? Okay, I'm the only one. Okay, very good. So this sermon is for me. But honestly, we all do have those moments, isn't it? Where those moments we do not know whether our prayers ever got beyond the ceiling of our house or whether God hears our prayers. And sometimes we don't like to pray, honestly, sometimes, isn't it? We like to do. We like to get things going. And sometimes we don't value praying. Maybe we do pray saying a grace, or we pray just to bless our kids before they go to bed. But maybe that's where our prayer life stops. But from being inspired by Matt last week, this morning's sermon is called The Trinity and Prayer. And some of you say that, wow, Pastor, I'm really struggling with my prayer life, and now you bring in a doctrine of the Trinity. And as I say, as what Matt said last week, the Trinity is something, it's beautiful, but sometimes it's hard to grasp at. But don't worry, we're going to break it down for you step by step over the next few weeks, next few months, next 200-300 years. But ultimately, you're going to get it in that sense. If you look at the Bible do not give us techniques to pray. Unfortunately, many times when you hear a message about praying, it's about giving you another formula, another technique. And sometimes you come across sermon title as how to pray powerful prayers, or how to make your prayers in such a way that God hears you. You get what I'm saying? Huh? But when you talk about praying in Scripture, it's never a technique. It's about knowing a person. It's about doctrine. Actually, we use the word doctrine. It's not just an idea of an intellectual idea, but doctrine is how we get to know God and know His nature and know His character. And it's important for us to just to lay some foundation about what we talk about, the Trinity and prayer. Meaning, the Trinity is always at work in our prayer life. Simple as that. Okay, this is the bottom line of my message this morning, that the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is at work with us in our prayer life. And of course, we know this famous picture, right? And perichoresis, right? This is a term introduced to us by Matt. It's not a term you find in Scripture, but it's a term in which the church over 2,000 years is describing, is a kind of referring to an eternal relationship, a dance of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So it's not that the Trinity has been dancing since eternity, but because of their relationship, because they are co-equal, they are three persons in one God, they have such a perfect relationship. And because there's such a perfect relationship, they have perfect love for each other. Amen? And because there's such a perfect love, they do not keep their love to themselves. Their love overflows into creation. So do you know, somewhere in eternity, before the universe was created, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, simultaneously, ding, we must create the world. But simultaneously, they also think the people are going to fall into sin. Right? They knew. So imagine this is a conversation in heaven. Simultaneously, the Godhead say, we are going to create the universe and we are going to create the best of all, humankind. And instantly, the Godhead knew humankind will fall. Okay? With our first parent, Adam and Eve. And so God says, you know, the day they fall, they're going to have trouble, or they're going to find it hard to fellowship with me. They will hide themselves somewhere in the bushes when I look for them. And because of their sin, they will always find themselves as enemies in their minds against me. Although I love them, although their sin can separate them from me, but it never separates me to them. But we need to deal with the sin problem. And then they look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit say, I don't want to work with messy people. No way. No way. And then Jesus say, look, Father, Mr. Holy Spirit, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to come down to earth to become like them. To die and take the sin away from them. So anyone who believes in me, as what Daryl this morning echoed, was they become new creation. And Holy Spirit said, that is a job I like to do. I only work with new creation. I will help them to walk in a new creation life. I will help them to grow in a new creation life. I will help them to discover the identity they have in you, Jesus. And from their identity, they will fulfill their destiny. And that's why Revelation says, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. It means Jesus coming down to earth was not an afterthought. That God didn't think of that. There was no preempting that Adam and Eve were fall in sin. But aren't you glad that conversation happened simultaneously? Well, everyone suddenly knows the solution. Even before the problem happens. And this is how God works with us. God always sees our victory before we see our struggles. He already provides all things for us in Christ long before the foundation of the world. And so in this perfect relationship, God created us that we can join in with the eternal Godhead into this dance as well. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is how it is. But we have more to say about this, but I just want to lay this simple foundation. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has purposed themselves to be part of our life. We're not worshipping three different gods. But in the Godhead, there's three persons in which we can relate to them in the most exclusive and intimate way. Something will take us really, really, literally a whole eternity to discover the joy of being loved by God. Amen? So God loves us even before we were born. And God manifests his love while we are walking on earth. But that perfect love God has for us never ceases. But it lasts through the ages of eternity. Now, why is this? On the day Jesus resurrected, he rose on a date, he appeared to his disciples. They were all hiding themselves because they were fearful. And one of the very first things Jesus did was this. He said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity sent all of us. Or we are all sent by the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit is working from the very day of resurrection. Remember I said to you, God says, the day you accomplish or finish work on the cross, there is no more barrier that people cannot come before me. There's no more gaps. There's no more anything. No excuses that no one can come to me because I judge their sin no more. And whoever believes in Jesus Christ, now a new creation, in which the Holy Spirit wants to work with us. So, Jesus is saying to the disciples, as well as to us, as the Father sent me, I sent you, but I also sent the Holy Spirit into you. And nothing gives God the greatest joy that he can live inside you. So all of us are sent ones. So doctrinally speaking, all of us are missionaries. All of us are in full-time ministry. Some of you say, no, I'm not a full-time ministry. I only serve on Sunday. Well, if you serve God on Sunday only, who are you serving the rest of the week? But we are all in full-time ministry because the Father calls us into a relationship with him full-time. Jesus gives us an identity and destiny full-time. The Holy Spirit dwells in us full-time. So are you not in full-time ministry? Because God is working in you. And you are a missionary because right from the very day Jesus rose on the dead, he said, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you. And now the finishing touch is receive the Spirit. And so Paul later will tell us in Ephesians 2:18, and for through him, meaning Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You begin to notice the Holy Trinity is working in through our lives. The day Jesus accomplished his finished work. The Holy Spirit never stops working. And so Paul then wrote to the Ephesians, telling the Ephesians, for through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. See again? The Trinity is dancing together with us. Now, the word both here is not about two Christians only. When Paul wrote this, he was writing to Jewish believers as well as Gentile believers, saying that, look, guys, through Jesus Christ, we Jewish believers, we Gentiles believers now have access to God. Because in the Old Covenant, the Jews have access to God through the law, isn't it? But Gentiles have no access to God at all because all Gentiles in those days were pagans. They were worshipping other gods. But now, because we all believe in Jesus Christ, and later Paul writes to us in Ephesians about whoever is in Christ is now one new man. There's neither Jews or Gentiles. But we all are new men in Christ. Our accessibility to God is not by our race. He also said there's neither male nor female or through our gender. But because God has called us. And we have access. And the Greek word here, prosagoge, is a very special word. Prosagoge actually means you have been invited by a king. You have been invited by a royalty. Remember Esther? When Esther has to intercede for her people, who was at risk of being massacred, she could not come to the king's throne anytime she wants. She can only access herself to the king's throne only when the king calls her. But if she appears without being called by the king, she could be executed. But if the king showed grace, the king just lifted out his scepter, pointing to Esther, and Esther touched it, means she has been granted an audience. So that's why Esther says, well, after Mordecai told her, you need to go and tell the king about what's going to happen to us Jewish people. And she then finally say, if I perish, I perish. This is a mission I had to do for my people, but the king cannot summon me. I'm going to take that risk. If I die, I die. But if I die, at least I die for a good cause. And of course, she was so beautiful and she was so favored by the king, and the king saw her. He said, come, touch my scepter, and now I can hear what is in your heart. People, we are better off than Esther. We have access to the Father by the Spirit. Are you glad? You don't have to be as pretty as Esther. And every time you come to God, there is full access 24/7. Paul chose this word very carefully. The word access, of course, today we thought you would use it in computer terminology, but the word access means you have a kingly invitation. And so our prayer life, if you look at what Paul is trying to tell us, is that we pray by the Spirit or we pray with the Spirit to the Father through the Son. We pray by the Spirit, we pray to the Father, and we pray through the Son. See, the Trinity is involved in how we pray. So, we pray by the Spirit. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, "For as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and with children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Have you ever been invited to a party or to a function and it was very boring? Not First Light Church, huh? It's always exciting. And somehow, at some moments, a certain person appear, it changes the whole entire mood of that party or the function. And most likely, you are the person, right? But you know that there are certain times you go to a function, it's so boring, and you just want to go home, and suddenly someone appear, it just really created the party mood. Now, how do we know the Holy Spirit is with us? The Holy Spirit is the most infectious person we are ever going to meet in life. When he comes, he's going to change the mood of the function. He's going to change the mood of the party. And when he comes, he says, we are no longer have any bondage to fear. So the moment I know the Holy Spirit is with me, I feel and I know, I'm fully persuaded, I have no more bondages, I have no more issue to fear. And you and I know there are moments we feel fearful, isn't it? There are those days we just feel that we don't want to go out because we are full of fear or some issues that just hinder us. But the moment the Spirit comes, once again, we know we've been set free from the bondage of fear. And something happens that we can lift out our voice and he says we receive the spirit of adoption by we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this word Abba is not referring to a 70s pop group. But Abba is how they call out to God with that deep affection. If you are filled with fear, what Paul is saying is, you have not understood your identity and position as a son and a daughter of God. Because when you understand you have been adopted, you can cry out, Abba, Father. Now, the word adoption here is different for our modern-day idea of adoption. Usually, they say a couple say, we want to adopt a child. It means this child doesn't belong to them. So they go through a legal process. They adopt the child into the family. But in the Jewish culture, you adopt your own sons. You say, oh, that's very strange. Because in Jewish culture, a rich businessman, what he does is, he has this baby boy, very cute looking. And he wants this boy to succeed his business. And so for a season, he say to an instructor in the family, or the housekeeper, say that, I want you to raise my son to know the family business. So over the years, this boy grew up, he learned about the family business, he learned how to do accounting, he learned how to do proper trading. And the day comes where this instructor will come to the master and say, your son is ready for adoption. So this father will call all the community leaders, they have a grand feast, and then the father will sit in front of the son, and then he will announce, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That is a public adoption. The Greek word for adoption means the placement of a son. That means when the father announced, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, means my son has come of age to take over my business. He's ready. So by announcing to all his business friends, to the community leaders, it means they can do business with him. But if the father have never have a public adoption of the son, if the son tried to start his own business, no one will want to work with him. No bank will give him a loan. No one will want to buy his shares. You get what I'm saying? Because it means that son is not ready or the son is useless. But because of Jesus Christ, that's what Paul says in Galatians, the law was a tutor to us until the revealing of Jesus Christ. And now the law can take a step back because we have been publicly announced by the Father as Jesus was by the Father on the day of his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so when you know Jesus Christ, you call to him, Abba Father. The Bible says, whole heaven rejoices. There's a party thrown for every one person who comes to know Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what's God saying in heaven? This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. That means whole heaven's resources is now made available to you. The angels who avoided you now say, I will work with you. That means everything that you had never have any access to, but once there is adoption, hallelujah, you have everything in Jesus Christ. So how many of you want to be adopted? He said, yeah, put me on the line, man. And thank God you're not, you were never rejected. The Spirit himself bears witness. So martyrio means join witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, this is a legal word. You know, if you sign a document before a legal document, then there is a column next to your, this signature was witnessed by so-and-so. Right? So that makes that document legit because not only you sign a document, there is a witness to that document. And so this is what Paul is saying. Guys, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, there is such an evidence of his presence because he's so infectious, all fear will cease right now. And you can just drop everything and then you can cry out, Abba, Father. And you cry in such a sweet way that you know God hears you. You're so convicted God will hear you. And the Holy Spirit comes and become a joint witness to your spirit. To say, yep, you're on the right track. That we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's very legal, isn't it? Not legalistic, but it's very legal. The Holy Spirit makes our relationship with God so legitimate. So legitimate that we can never give any excuses that God will never hear us. God is never for us, but God is always with us. Hallelujah. This is what we mean by a new covenant relationship. Everything is done for us by the very God himself. That it is almost impossible for you to fail, but even if you fail, the Holy Spirit still can help you to succeed in your relationship with God. Aren't you glad? It's so restful. Now, the next thing is this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Paul is very clear. Paul, the one who says, I pray more in tongues than the rest of you. I pray with a lot of stuff. But Paul himself says that even I, a great praying person, will tell you, rest of the church, all of us have this problem. We do not know how to pray. And even if we think we know how to pray, sometimes, do you feel stuck when you are praying? Especially if there's an affliction in your life. Sometimes you do not pray for deliverance, or you pray for perseverance. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes you're stuck with a problem. Lord, save me! Or you say, God, give me strength. So we cover both angles. We pray both prayers. God saved me, but God also gave me strength. But sometimes we do not know how to pray. And sometimes we are so frustrated not knowing how to pray, the Spirit then groans with us. And the word here helps. Sun anti lambanomai. That's a long word. Actually means he partners with us. He cooperates with us. He collaborates with us. Because now, because he's a joint witness to the signature, he's a joint witness to our spirit person who bear witness that we are children of God, as and joint as with Christ. Now, he will legally cooperate with us. Collaborate with us. He partners with us in our weaknesses. Not in our strength. No, sometimes we pray, God, give me more strength. Sometimes I wonder, should I say, Lord, make me more weak? You get what I'm saying? Because sometimes we say, God, we give me more strength. Sometimes the idea I have is, God, I got it. No need you. Don't bother yourself. I got it. Just give me the strength. Maybe I should change the way I pray. Say, Lord, make me more weak so that you can help me even more. You can partner with me. So we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. Remember intercession? I said to you guys before, saying back to God what he has spoken to us. Sometimes we think we are praying here, yeah, and God is somewhere in the far side of the universe. But do you know on earth, here the Holy Spirit helping us to get the message across to the Father. So God in you is helping God to answer your prayer. Now, I know it's very complicated to understand, but this sentence makes sense. It's God in you is getting God to help you. Now, he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, the word make intercession, again, a very long Greek word. Hooper means, like, hyper means plenty, great, greater than great. Hooper and tukano is actually means to fall on your side with you, to come by your side with you. It means actually it is a rescue. Let's say someone fall into the deep end of a pool, can't swim. The lifeguard jump in to pull the person out. That is what the word means, make intercession. Like those bunch of boys that was trapped in the cave in Thailand, remember? A while back, rescue team actually had to swim through all the flood water to get them to go in and then to get them out. That is what hopo and tokano means. Means it is a rescue. Whether you agree or not, it is true. Every prayer is a rescue. That's why we pray, right? But we don't pray as if, or we think of prayer as if we're shooting out a flare up to the sky and hoping for a rescue. Or prayer is like a room service because we're entitled to stuff. But prayer becomes a partnership that the Holy Spirit knows how to help you when you do not know how to pray. He makes intercession for you. It doesn't mean he prays on your behalf. It's not as if you don't know how to drive. He said, get out, let me take over the steering wheel. But rather, he sits with us and helps us in our prayer. And he says, according to the will of God. I am in a crisis right now in my life. Should I pray for deliverance? Should I pray for perseverance? Sometimes when I pray, I also got my doctrine wrong. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes I don't know what words to use. Please, God, help me, or God, don't help me. I don't know. I'm struggling, especially I'm going through this crisis. But somehow, thank God, I never pray alone. Even when you think you're praying alone, you have a praying partner called the Holy Spirit who prays with you. That means no prayer is ever wasted. It also means no prayer is ever unanswered. So here I am, tripping over my words, don't know how to pray, I'm growing, I'm sighing, I'm frustrated, there's moment of faith, there's moment I'm conflicted with doubts. But because I have a praying partner with me, all my prayers reach to God. Perfect. It's as if the Holy Spirit is our spell check. You get what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you, especially now with mobile, we text each other and thank God for spell check. Sometimes I almost use some terrible words without the spell check. But we wait, that's the word I'm looking for. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit somehow enabled our prayer to be according to the will of God. And that's why Paul says, and now we know that all things work together. Hallelujah. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We pray by the Spirit. Next is we pray to the Father. Jesus shared this in His Sermon on the Mount. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Everyone say the next three words. How much more? How much more? Will your Father, who is in heaven, give you good things to those who ask Him? Here is Jesus saying, in Luke, He says, you fathers who are being evil, right, can give good things to your children, how much more your perfect Father will give you? Some of us have wonderful fathers. Some of us do not have such a great father. But whatever our relationship with our earthly fathers are like, it is totally different from our relationship with our Heavenly Father. You don't come to Him and say, Abba, give me bread. He said, here, close your eyes. Take this. Now bite hard. Now you lost all your teeth. Papa, I want fish. Close your eyes now. And then you feel something slithering around your body. Serpents. No. He give good gifts. He never give booby price. He give good gifts. And good gifts is very clearly good gifts. Have you ever give something to someone and then they open it with a face of disappointment and, oh, exactly what I needed. No, right? Because when you, and the Father gives you, He knows what is good for you. Some of you say, but I pray, God did not answer my prayer. You see, the more I understand about God, the more I understand about praying, I see it's all related. Praying is how much I know the Father. Then prayer is no longer a chore. Prayer is not obligation. Prayer is a reflex, a response to who the Father is. And let's be honest, sometimes we do not know the Father's will, isn't it? Sometimes we are confused about God's purpose in our life, isn't it? Sometimes we do not know which road to take in our life, isn't it? But if you know you have a perfect Father, can you feel very safe? In the midst of all these conflicts and contradictions of life, you say, Lord, I still feel safe with you because you are with me, because your word say, you never forsake me or you will leave me. But the Father will give you good gifts. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open to you. I may not know entirely what God's will for me, but I feel safe with the Father. And I know that when God answers my prayer, although answer my prayer, His purpose of answering my prayer is according to the purpose He set for my life. Like Joseph, remember? He had all those dreams. But his father frustrated his destiny by giving him a coat of multicolor. This morning I wore a shirt of multicolor. The father said, I love you so much, I'm going to spoil you. You never need to work a day of your life. But God's purpose for Joseph was to save an empire. He was to rescue a broken economy, and by rescuing the broken economy, he will save his family. But as long as Joseph wears his coat of many colors, he will never fulfill his purpose. I'm sure Joseph prayed for deliverance many times. But God says, not yet, not yet. But I'm going to pray and I'm going to answer your prayer according to your purpose. Aren't you glad once you and I know our purpose in life, we know that God is going to answer accordingly. It's okay to keep on praying. Sometimes we pray what we know, sometimes we pray what we don't know. But when we keep on praying, you know the Father is working all the time that we will walk to our destiny. We pray through the Son. You know, Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he went to pray together with his three best friends, Peter, James, and John. I always like how, if you follow a conversation between Jesus and Peter, it's very, very interesting. All right, so here is Jesus telling Peter, just when you have hanging supper, he say, Peter, let me give you a word. Satan is out to get you, to sieve you like wheat. Pray. Peter say, don't worry. I have my sword. I'm ready to go where you go. Everyone will run from you except me. Jesus say, okay. After supper, he say, come. Come and pray with me in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, pray. And Jesus said to him, hey, Peter, let me tell you, your spirit to stand up for me is willing, is very good, very strong. But your flesh is very weak. What is Jesus saying to Peter was, it is noble for you to have such aspiration to stand with me. But to tell you, your flesh is very weak. Before the cock crows, you're going to betray me 3 times. Peter, pray. But like years later, Peter wrote his letter. I think he was reminiscing that the devil is like a roaring lion. But we stand and resist. Now, finally, he understood. Not only the spirit is willing, the flesh is also equally willing to fight. But in his highest weekly prayer, Jesus prayed not only for his disciples, he also prayed for all of us. We are all included. Look at this. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Their word means we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Matt touched on this text a bit last week. But what was his prayer? He wants us all to be one. Isn't it? I think this is the only prayer of Jesus. There's only one prayer item of Jesus yet to be fulfilled. Because all over the world, we have about 30 to 40,000 different denominations. In South Korea alone, there's 3,000 Presbyterian denominations. Figure it out. But he says, He wants the whole body of Christ, not just First Light Church people, to be united, to be one. But he wants the churches of Perth to be in one. He wants the churches of Australia to be in one. He wants Australia churches to be in one with the churches of the rest of the nation. But he says here that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe you sent me. Remember, breathe the Holy Spirit on you. We are all sent one. That the world will know that we are sent by God because there's a unity. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them as you have loved me. Before the creation, before the foundation of the earth, the Father, the eternal Father, and the eternal Son enjoys a very perfect relationship, a very perfect love. And now Jesus, as our high priest, is praying to the Father, Father, I want the rest who comes to know us enjoy that same level of love as we have enjoyed right from the beginning of eternity till now. You see, Jesus did not save us, not like some function you go, there is a kid's table, and this is the adult's table. The adult always eat better food than the kids, because the kids don't know how to enjoy food, so everything is kid size. And sometimes we can think when we are saved, here is all the big boys, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, having their own little fellowship, their own little life group, their own little cliques, that kind of thing. And all of us are sitting in a kid's table. No. No. Jesus prayed that, hey, Father, the moment they are safe, they are all invited to the adult's table. They all have access to you. That's why Paul says, that's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That in times of need, we can expect grace and mercy. Because we are all now sitting in heavenly places, in heavenly seats, isn't it? So when James and John told Jesus, Master, when your kingdom come, can we sit on your left and your right? And Jesus said, oh, you guys do not know what you're asking. You do not know the kind of suffering you have. But after the cross, Paul says, all of us are now sitting in heavenly places with Christ. So it shifted your prayer position. You are no longer praying here and trying to get to heaven. But now you are praying in heaven to get things to earth. The Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now you and I are sitting in heavenly places. We have revelation of God's will in heaven. And then we pray, Lord, make your will be done on earth. Such an accessible God that we have, isn't it? You think suddenly you think, wow, prayer is actually quite simple. It's not as difficult as I think it is, because it's about a relationship with the Trinity. Oh, the end. I can go another half an hour now. Let me pull all this together. We pray by the Spirit to the Father through Jesus Christ. As I start this morning, some of us do struggle with our prayer lives. I hope by this revelation, you don't struggle anymore. You're not trying to get to God, but you are sitting together with God in heavenly places. You know what is interesting is your prayer life you are praying at the level of the eternal Son. You're not praying by yourself or your own strength, but you're praying at the level of the Son, because you are in Christ. Today, every prayer that you pray are in Christ. You are praying at the level of your Son. See, let me give you an illustration. A few years ago, a friend of mine, he's a medical doctor, and he does a lot of medical mission in Cambodia, and he's been doing that for a number of years. And one year, he decided to organize a football team among the young kids. And he was shipping in all the medical equipment. He decided to bless them with a football jersey. He said, okay. And he timed in such a way that the container will arrive a few days before he comes, and then he can watch the football match the next day when he arrives. But when he arrived, he realized the container has not left the docks, because there was some complication, there was some situation that just, they couldn't just transport the whole thing. And he was very frustrated. He said, Lord, you brought us all the way here. No, and what are we supposed to do? And he was sitting in the coffee cafe. Some guy sat next to him and they start chatting with one another. He said, oh, what are you doing here? I said, oh, I'm a medical doctor. I'm here to do some mission work. I said, oh, what do you do? I said, oh, I bring medical equipment and all this and that. I said, oh, then I got some football jersey for this bunch of kids. Tomorrow is a football match. But I couldn't just get a container out. Then the guy say, give me your name. Give me all your invoices. Let me see what I can do. He said, oh, do you work in the docks? He said, no, I'm a diplomat. And next thing, the guy took everything, didn't get to hear from him at all. Next day, everyone came. All the young boys were all bare body, waiting for their jersey to come, but there was no container. They waited and waited. And then 5 minutes before the football match was going to start, the container arrived. So my friend was telling me, wow, what a great favor. What a great favor. Now I was saying to him, at our level, because we are nobodies, we are common people, we call that favor. But for that diplomat, it's everyday normal treatment. How the Trinity treat one another is common treatment. But on earth, we call it favor. My friend benefited that favor because that diplomat brought him to the level of his power and authority. And Jesus said to the Father, all these that I save, I want them to enjoy the preferential treatment of heaven that I have been receiving from eternity. So friends, church, that's how much the Father loves us. That we are praying today at the level of the eternal Son. Are you receiving it? Are you getting it? If there's nothing you're going to learn this year, at least one thing I hope is you learn to see the value of prayers. Now, when I talk about first, like bring a prayer culture, can you see it happening? It can be, it can, isn't it? Because we're all sons and daughters of the Lord. We've been brought into the heavenly place to pray. And we can believe. Let's all rise. You know, this sermon is, I say this morning, it's not for you, but it's for me actually. About how God needs to help me to grow in my prayer lives. But if you are in the same situation as I am, Lord, I can grow in my prayer life. Then I just invite you to pray.